Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
There's a chill in the air, and the annual fall bird migration has begun. Let's go in-depth at Lake Red Rock with Marla Mertz, Marion County naturalist. Well, what a beautiful morning it is, Marla.
It is. It's gorgeous. We're here at the boxcars, and it just seems like we're going to celebrate the birds of white today.
I see pelicans. I see egrets. Anything else?
I see some gulls, and I do see some darker birds. I see some cormorants, and I think we just had a few blue-winged teal fly over.
Okay, and we're up. You call it the boxcars because whatever the story is, there's some boxcars embedded in the north end of the lake off of Carpenter. And it's a wildlife waterfowl refuge, is that right?
It is. It's heavily used by a lot of people, especially during hunting season, duck season. And of course, how the water fluctuates kind of depends on the use of this area. But it's a quiet area, and it's got some backwaters here to where they have, you know, some quiet water, especially on a cold, windy day like this morning. And then they'll start getting more and more active as the day goes on and moving to different portions of the lake. I've noticed in the last couple of weeks we've had a lot of first-year pelicans and subadult pelicans moving into Lake Red Rock down around White Breast area along Highway 14. And as we drove here this morning, they up and moved here. So they're just a little bit out of the way, but wanted to be out of the wind, and their feeding areas are a little quieter, and it's just less energy for them to expend over the day.
Well, and there's some flying now as you're speaking. The big pelicans with those black wingtips are pretty easy to see.
They are. They do get confused, though, with geese sometimes because they fly in a V formation, but it's just kind of a magnificent sight when you see those pelicans fly in. They'll get up into the sky, and they kind of swirl and circle in the sky to where they just literally disappear. And then you see the black wingtips come through, and then they'll disappear again. And so they kind of circle around and fly in V formation for long distances to, you know, cut their energy. And
they're just circling.
They're going to circle and circle, and that wing energy is passing from one bird to another until they can reach height. They're heavy birds. They're not a lightweight bird by any means. It's kind of in a tornado effect, and they just keep getting more lift and more lift with each circle that they make. Wow.
Seeing them go from black to white reminds me of an Escher painting.
Mm-hmm.
An Escher bird painting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. They really can disappear in the sky. The higher they get, the more they disappear. But when that black appears, it's
like they're schooling like fish.
Mm-hmm. See how much higher they get with each circle that they make.
More in depth after this. I continued my talk about the fall migration with Marla Mertz, Marion County naturalist.
But right now it's an amazing time to watch all the egrets come in, and the great blue herons are starting to move out, and the movement has started, and it will continue in through October.
Now, I always start thinking about migration once it gets chilly like this, but there's been some birds moving for a while, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. There's been quite a few of the songbirds that have already left within the last couple of weeks, and that's not unusual. We did have two osprey this year that we released over at Elk Rock with the Gladys Black Raptor Learning Center. And we do watch them pretty closely at what triggers them and what day they move out. And about 10 days ago, they decided to move away from the Hack Tower area to where they felt at home and comfortable. And they've been below the dam fishing, picked up a couple of wild sub-adults, and I think they're on their way. We haven't seen them. Usually about the 12th of September was the earliest the osprey have left Lake Red Rock. But as I say now, we see a lot of juveniles moving in and sub-adults. They are the first migrators.
With just the pelicans or everybody?
It's just about with everything.
The juveniles go first?
Juveniles go first.
How do they know where they're going?
It's all one of those magical mysteries of migration. It's innate behavior.
I always figured they learn, they followed some adult or something.
No, they don't. It's especially with the pelicans, because they're kind of easiest to monitor, because you see them and you see numerous numbers of them. But same way with the osprey, the egrets, the herons, the songbirds. The young begin to move early, and they don't have any territory. That is already embedded into their brain, their migratory travels. They will usually go wherever their parents go, and they will follow later. So, yeah, that's kind of one of the magical things about migration. It's highly unusual. It's kind of the reverse response of what happens in the spring, because your adults come back in the spring first. And that's because the old adage, you know, early bird gets the worm. They're getting back to their nesting territories up north or wherever they're going to go, where their breeding areas are. And they want to be first to get there. They want their territory back. So they will hurry and come back earlier in the spring. And then the juveniles or the young follow. That's just kind of how it is. It takes a while to kind of get on to that and have that understanding. And if you go totally scientific with it, it makes it a little boring. It's just easier to enjoy what the day brings and what the wind blows in and experience them as they are, you know, as they are in their territory, in their habitat. So,
well, we're looking out here on hundreds of pelicans and fewer egrets, but hundreds of pelicans. And some of them are just sitting there. Others are flying around. They're feeding, I presume, and looking for more
shad.
Food.
Probably shad and some smaller fish. It's kind of funny to watch those pelicans feed. When right now they're kind of sunning and warming themselves, and they're flying. They're going to go beyond this area for some of the areas that they're going to be attending today. I'm not sure. If you look above the tree line there, there's a huge black cloud of birds moving in.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I see it. It's huge.
It's huge. It's a huge black cloud of birds, and more than likely those are pelicans, more pelicans moving in, because it looks as though they kind of disappear and then erupt into a black cloud. So there's just hundreds and hundreds of birds moving in. There's smaller groups of waterfowl moving in. The cormorants are flying. There are some great blue herons here. The egrets have started moving in, but starting about mid-September is when we really, really look towards those first birds of white. And then once they start to appear, it just happens on a daily basis of what gets brought in and what visits us. And a lot of these birds too, you know, some of them are neotropical migrants, so they are going to go, you know, beyond the Gulf of Mexico into South and Central America. And some of these birds will only go as far as where there's going to be open water all winter. And Iowa has got many new reservoirs in the last 50 years that allow these birds to stay longer and be able to feed, and they don't have to move quite as far. Migration is just movement. It doesn't mean it has to be far away. For a turtle, it might be across the road. It might just be the pond down on the other side of the valley. Everything just has its own innate behavior of how and the way they're going to spend the winter.
More in depth
after this. I continued my talk about the fall migration with Marla Mertz, Marion County naturalist. Well, it is so beautiful today. The water is so blue. The sky is so blue. Fluffy clouds in the sky. Bright green still and on the banks of the lake. Darker green with the wooded areas. Birds flying everywhere. And I could have just driven through it. without, if you have to stop, don't you? We've talked about this before. You have to stop and look at the sky and what's around you.
You do. Just like right here, there's some little teal moving through. Actually, those aren't teal. Those are shorebirds. And I thought they were teal as they were moving in, but they were still small. But a group of shorebirds, just
20 of them,
just so went through.
40 maybe.
But you still see clouds and clouds of birds moving in, and you don't have to know what they are. You don't have to be an expert birder.
And what's that soaring over there?
That is a... Let me look here real quick.
Brought your binoculars.
Yeah, not the good one.
Soaring bird.
It's a lone soaring bird. And see, the turkey vultures have really started to set up to move out too. And we kind of use the turkey vultures as a monitor. Once the turkey vultures leave, the bald eagles are going to be moving in from the north. So we've got all the migration that we have passing through, and then we've got all the northern birds that literally come here to spend the winter. So we'll get a large amount of bald eagles spending the winter here. We'll get a large amount of red-tailed hawks coming and spending the winter here. So we are also a destination for migratory birds, not just south of here.
And that's, so they come in and spend the winter.
Come and spend the winter, and it sometimes looks like we have a lot of different types of raptors, or there's an overpopulation of certain things, and it's not that. It's just we are the wintering grounds for numerous species, while the ones that we see on a regular basis in spring and summer are no longer here. So our outdoors will be a little bit quieter for a little bit. There's going to be that lull of quietness without the buntings and the thrashers and the swifts and swallows. And now we're just going to be listening to maybe snow geese passing by the light of the moon. And we've had a beautiful harvest moon the other night. And I've been listening to snow geese pass through the night for the last week and a half. And that's unusual for me. But I'm pretty sure that that was an eagle that was flying through. That was so far away. And
so the eagles are arriving.
And we still have our own Red Rock eagles that have lived here and stayed here, whether they be adults, whether they be of breeding age, or whether they're sub-adults. More than likely, Iowa birds and the Marion County birds will stay in Marion County, but we will be receiving hundreds and hundreds of bald eagles from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Canada. Everything's going to be coming from the north. And a lot of these birds breed in the tundra, the Arctic tundra. And so they're finding their way to Lake Red Rock. We're just a little speck on the map. And it makes it really kind of fun just to be able to know that we're here on their passerby, you know.
Well, and the Canada geese have just started, haven't they?
Yes, but a lot of their innate behavior is gone. The populations of Canada geese at one time weren't so great, and it's kind of like the snow geese. You know, there are a lot of them, but that innate behavior has started to deplete because a lot of them have been pen-raised in order to get the populations back up again. And so that wild innate behavior, you know, it's going to keep them local. That's why we see so many stay here over the winter and in the fields and in our ponds and below the dam and in other reservoirs in Iowa, because that that behavior is gone. Now, the little blue-winged teal that we talk about, they're a long-distance migrator. They're going to go, you know, way down, almost into Central America. They're one of the furthest migratory waterfowl birds that we have, you know, here on a regular basis. So it's fun to know where the teal are, and they've been moving for the last couple of weeks. So I know that they're leaving early, and it's time for them to move out. And once the teal move, about everything else is moving too.
It seems like I grew up bird watching, and it seems like just bird watching has always been a part of something I do. My grandpa was a big bird watcher, but not everybody's like that. Maybe could you share some of the joys of bird watching?
There are so many, and that's such an individual thing about birding. Sometimes it's aesthetics. Sometimes it is we're shut up in the winter and we have color and sound and we find birds very magical. It is one of the most popular recreation opportunities that's growing in the United States and worldwide. It gets you out. It's great exercise to hike and to go birding. It's a challenge to your mind. You may not see a bird. Maybe you just like to bird by ear and learn sounds and challenge yourself that way. And then there's people who like to watch birds that find not only magic in their flight, but know that those birds have helped create things that we are very familiar with in a different way, such as aeroengineering. You know, we monitor birds' flight, we monitor feather movement, we monitor how they use their tail and their wings, and we apply that to airplanes and planes that we send away from here. Birds just take to the sky, and every person has their own individual feeling of how they feel about birds and what they get. I like to watch them understand their behavior, but I can also make that connection with our water quality issues between here and another side of the world. And we can also make a connection of their health really tells us how healthy we're going to be. Because if there's a problem in our environment, they're going to tell us very quickly that we need to be paying attention and what we need to be listening to and understanding in our environment so that we can share that and maybe do something if there's something that can be done, or know that things are going well enough that we've made great changes in the past 50 years, you know, with our water quality issues. So it's just a very individual thing.
I just find it so healing.
It is healing.
Out here.
Mm-hmm. It's healing. It's just grand.
Thanks to Marla Mertz for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.